on 610.
W2JKT. The car due in the cold, cold weather.
Mine just gets a lot less range because I run the heater and the battery isn't quite as efficient at cold temperatures. It only activated the battery heater a couple of times during that cold snap. But yeah, it definitely gets a lot less range when it's cold.
Cool. It was about the Teslas, but I guess all of them are probably the same way, that it has to warm the battery before it can take a charge.
If the battery gets below freezing, you know, about 0C, it'll damage it if you try to charge it. That's true of any lithium battery. Now most electric cars, if you're using the onboard navigation to get to a charging station, it will actually, make sure the battery is preconditioned before you get there. But mine, if it goes below zero, it'll heat it up to plus 6 degrees C and maintain that if it can. If it doesn't, know whether you're going to be charging or not.
What the article was saying, I guess, and the guy, he must have had trouble with his, because he had it plugged up for an hour on a fast charge, and it said it was still heating the battery, but it was really cold out.
The resistance of the battery goes way up when it gets cold, so even if you're discharging it, you're losing quite a bit of energy in the battery as heat. So that will sort of naturally help heat the battery, but at the expense of just, getting a lot less range out of it, because you're losing some of that energy.
4EB, good morning and happy new year to y'all.
How are you?
Heading back for the first day at work, listening to y'all and thinking about what y'all were saying there. When we bring new people in to the plant to look at the bus that we build, one of my favorite parts to show them is the coolant heater. It just always seems funny to me to have a coolant heater on board a bus, but we have one.
There are three coolant loops in the bolt. There's a coolant loop for the battery, a coolant loop for the motor, and a coolant loop to heat the cabin. So, yeah, no, a lot of people don't think about needing to heat the battery, but it is definitely necessary.
I had looked at my miles per kilowatt hour when it got cold, and I'm typically running up near four, but I was down a little below three for a while there.
Snap we had over Christmas, I was like 2.2, maybe even 2.0. Just driving around town because I had the heater blasting and the battery heater was coming on, and probably 10 kilowatts of load between the cabin heater system and the battery heater.
Yeah, difference, and another big difference is the density of the air. We're going through a lot thicker air when it's cold than we are in the summertime.
What's the difference? Difference that as pilots we have to consider that when doing performance data calculations for takeoff and landing. If an airport's at 1,000 feet elevation, they might report a density altitude of 3,000 feet, and that's basically, the air is equivalently thinner because of heat and humidity, and makes it harder for the plane to take off. And same thing for the cars, the less dense the air, the better off you, the better off you are for economy.
I mean about the density altitude. I'm based on a short runway, so I got a two-person plane, but I don't take people out in the summer. I go out by myself.
You're real fast if you don't take the density altitude in consideration.
I'm sure.
Those buses, do they do? Are those overhead chargers wireless, or do they actually have to make galvanic contact with the charger when they pull into that charging slot?
Wireless. We got what we call a pantograph, and we have rails, which are just bus bars that drop down and contact another set of bus bars on top of the bus.
Is it for the driver to get those things aligned, or do they have some kind of mechanism that'll line them up right?
The like an RFID type system that
the rails on the bus can move around a little bit and get themselves the charger.
Well, nothing really moves except the rails on the charger come down to contact the rails on top of the bus. But left and right is not very critical, so the driver kind of handles that, and he gets an indication on the dash when to stop.
I was always curious, down in Seneca, they had, you know, the Proterra buses for the CAT bus system, and they've got this overhead charging jig over by the train depot that the bus always pulled into. And I was always curious how it worked.
The older system that only Proterra had, and kind of proprietary to us, and it worked a little differently. The driver pulled under the charger, and the charger actually took control of the speed of the bus, and it actually stopped the bus in position, and that was a little different system. It actually had two big, heavy brushes, like carbon brushes, that contact some pads up top to do the charging.
Yeah, that was definitely a cool system. I can't remember the last time I saw it, but I could swear that there was a component that was on some kind of armature that would move it, but I could just be remembering wrong. But yeah, it was always really cool to see that thing pull in, and you know, the thing would charge while it was taking on or disembarking passengers. And it'd probably hang out there for 10 or 15 minutes sometimes, and then go on about its way.
Been up on a scissor lift, helping the guys work on some of that and document it. It's been three or four years ago, I guess, now. But I am familiar with the system. Well, NC4EB here, I feel like I've interrupted. Come on back in, guys.
That's been an interesting conversation there, y'all. Y'all carry on, KF4NXY.
Yeah, you ain't never interrupting KN4TFW.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because Ken asked the correct question, or not say correct question, but asked the same question I was getting ready to ask Eric about the heater on the battery. I made the mistake of not really keeping Sally's car engine compartment kind of warm. I was meant to put a light out there near it just to keep something warm, but she went out to go get her mom that next morning, or Christmas morning, or the day before Christmas, and lo and behold, her battery was dead. So needless to say, I had to make send Ashley over to pick up a battery at Walmart, and Jerry in for JBM was kind enough to come down and put it in the car for Sally, so I appreciate that. But yep, that cold can definitely play havoc, KA3JCA.
In most cases, a lower temperature will slow a chemical reaction. So, batteries depend on, chemical reactions to produce electrical energy. So when they're cold, they can do it less. So cold will definitely, lead acid or lithium, definitely increase the internal resistance and reduce the amount of energy you can get out of them.
This battery that I put in, it was actually a year. I get an extra year. It's a 3-year battery. I didn't go too far, but I noticed that this one had more cold cranking amps needed for the battery. But I can't complain because Sally's car is a 2016, and the she just reminded me, 2017. And when we opened it up, that was the original battery from the Toyota factory that was still in the car.
It is a 2017, and back during the summer I had to replace the battery on it, and it's a AGM of some type.
Jump to an electric car yet, but I'm thinking about it. I'm going to keep this. Sally has a Toyota RAV4 right now, but I'll give it a couple more years, and maybe things will turn out better for us.
To work, so I'm going to say 7-3. Hope everybody has an awesome day, and look forward to catching you guys later on down the road. KN4 TFW.
At work, KF4 NXY.
Have a good day at work there, Ken. We'll catch you when you get off, KA3JCA.
Bye. WU2JKT 73.
73 NC4EB. One of our guys put a lithium battery in his airplane, and it didn't want to start it on a cold morning, but we found out you put a heat gun on it for about 5 minutes, and it was like an all-new battery.
All you have to do is take a load out of them for a couple minutes, you know, just like a light, a few amps for a couple minutes, and that'll warm it up enough inside to provide some power.
Initially just switched to turning on his landing light for a little bit, and it was started.
Much. You just need to get it, get the temperature over freezing, and that's not hard to do when it's, you know, when the battery's cold. It's a self-correcting problem because the internal resistance is so high that any load will create enough heat to get it above freezing.
Yeah, I eventually switched back to lead acid on the airplane, is what he ended up doing.
Yeah, definitely better at low temperature than lithiums, but lithiums are better in every other way. So, you know, the temperature restrictions aside, you know, lithium batteries are definitely better, but, you know, as far as low temperature performance, you really can't beat lead acid.
I replaced the one in the bolt, and it cost me $250, and I had to drive to Hendersonville to get one. I couldn't get one anywhere locally.
Like, since you never have a starting cycle with the bulb, you know, what's the wear out mechanism on the lead acid battery? Is it just floating for too long?
Hey, Eric, I didn't get that.
Yeah, I can't get the repeater anymore. I thought maybe I had this problem licked, but I just felt the spot 25 where it's really tough. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but I got you that time.
Right now, I think there's like a shadow here on exit 48. Just give it a minute.
I'm almost to my exit, so if I'm not here when you get back, 73's from NC4DB.
And I'm so I'm gonna go ahead and sign too because I need to make a phone call here real quick before I get to the office and all that stuff. So it's good hearing everybody this morning. 73 to everybody. We'll talk to you this afternoon. WTJKT.
3 Eric. And 73 in NC3EB or NC4EB, I'm sorry. And David, I'm going to say 73 also. My daughter made me breakfast and I'm going to go eat that real quick. KA3JCA.
Yeah, it is well, it's hot, so you have a good morning. I'll catch you a little later. KF4NXY.
4HKX, KA3JCA. Anywhere near 25 in Saluda Dam? Anywhere near Highway 25 in Saluda Dam?
Saluda Dam, I can't get it in my head right off.
It's apparently off at 25, but there's an accident there on 25 over there by Saluda Dam, so I wasn't sure.
What else is in that area?
He didn't say. Let me see if I can pull that up on the map real quick. The map shows that 25, Patrick, near the Saluda Outdoor Center. Looks like it's west of White Oak, hold on a second, I'm trying to get the name of the road, White Horse Road, but north of 123.
Down into that area too much today, not early anyway. I was thinking it was over there where the QT and Sphinx are, right there where you cross, or 183 crosses. It's down from that just a little bit.
When they show you that map on the weather for the traffic and the accidents, they show you that just the major roadways and arteries in green, and you're like trying to match it to a different map. But yeah, it looks like it's a little bit further west than which you go. I just knew you were coming down 25 there a lot, and I just heard that it was an accident that just popped up there, so I figured I'd give you a heads up.
That, but I'll be down in that area later today, but not early, so it should be cleared up, hopefully.
Well, I hope you have an eventful day as far as good events and so forth like that. And like I said, I'll keep an eye on the weather here out throughout the day. I know they're calling for rain, and the heavy part's supposed to start right around 4 p.m. I worry about that because the winds are going to pick up. I don't know how much yet, but wait for the next forecast to come up after 6:30. That way I can let Ashley know, because when she gets off and that 5 o'clock traffic and the heavy rain and some of the water puddles, even there on 385, I worry about her hydroplaning sometimes.
That, and that little car she's in, that'd be easy to do. But I appreciate the heads up on that, and I appreciate you checking me in last night on the thermal belt net. I was trying to listen to it in the meeting last night, and was doing a screen share when it was time to try to let you know I was there.
Had to turn my video off last night in the audio when I started the net, so I wouldn't get sidetracked. And then when I started, my pen stopped writing, and then I started having a little bit of trouble breathing, but then things kind of mellowed out.
You're doing that for me. And if you need any information on what was talked about last night, just give me a call, and I'll tell you what all it was.
Ready? I'll do that. I was going to ask Dave, too, when I talked to him. I know that he records it it makes it easier to replay the minutes when he types up the minutes and so forth, but I didn't know if he saved the audio file or not for the meeting, or if it's something that, now that we're doing the Zoom meeting, if it's something that they're going to maybe create a video file of it, so, but it's no big deal. I made sure I got my money in for the dues and got voted in. I felt it right because I'm using the repeater, and plus I'm a net control operator. So, but at least I get to attend the meetings virtually now.
I still got to pay my dues for this year, so I got to get online and do that today.
Listen, there was like about 8 things. I don't know if you heard them or not while you were still on the club meeting, but I can also go over those. Chad talked about this new year, the scheduling, some NCS training for thermal belt, some Simplex stuff that's coming up again. So I can fill you in on all that, too, later on.
Called me last night and let me know. I texted him about it, and we talked last night after y'all got done. So I appreciate that, though.
Well, I just got through eating breakfast, and I'm going to grab my medicine and see if I can talk Miss Sally into making me a cup of coffee this morning. I know she keeps telling me the Bible says Hebrews, but I'm trying to get it to Hebrews. So, all righty. Well, you have a good day today, Patrick, and I'll chat with you later down the road there, KA3JCA.
With that, Richard, and have a good day, and I will talk to you on down the log, KO4HKX, and I'll be clear, 73.